This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Stress seems to be a bigger part of college life than ever. Stress about loans, stress about grades, about expectations, about jobs after graduation. But most of the time, even in the digital age, students in crisis tend not to talk about it. Rarely, if ever, do they publicly share stories of their near breakdowns. But one student recently did, and on the blog of MIT's admissions office, no less. Rachel Zimmerman, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, joins us now with more. Rachel, good to see you.
You too, Meghna.
So tell us about this post that you bumped into. It was actually inspired by a student at MIT.
That's right. It was a post written by a young woman named Lydia. She, at the beginning of her junior year, became very stressed out. She wrote that she stopped talking to people, she stopped cleaning her room, she stopped talking to her family, she became very lonely. She started feeling completely inadequate. And I think what so resonated with other students at MIT, and frankly, in comments on the post, students from around the country, and here's just a little taste of what she wrote, which is there's this, as I said, there's this feeling that no matter how hard you work, you can always be better. And as long as you can be better, you're not good enough. You're a slacker. You're stupid.
But this isn't just a student, you know, who's complaining about having a bad day. I mean, Lydia also wrote about the physical toll that the stress was taking on her.
That's right. I mean, her sleep was totally screwed up. She was having all these other symptoms.
Well, Rachel, stand by for just a second because we have the student on the line, Lydia Krasilnikova. She's a junior at MIT. Welcome to Radio Boston, Lydia.
Hello, hello, thank you.
Tell me more. What do you think triggered this sort of emotional and psychological meltdown that you said you were having?
Well, there are a lot of factors. For one, students often come in here being perfectionists, and the fact is, while you could get good grades in high school, it's a lot harder here. Another thing is the workload here is a lot higher than most people experienced before. So
So there was a lot going on.
Yeah.
And in your post, you write that, quote, sometimes it feels like MIT drags your self-esteem over a jagged, gravelly rock face and stretches your happiness, your mental health, and the passion and energy that brought you here like an old rubber band. It's a candid and very searing description of how stress really is overtaking your life as an MIT student. But Lydia, before we go any further, I've got to ask, it's MIT. I mean, you are surrounded by some of the brightest people, including yourself, on the planet. I mean, shouldn't there be the expectation that stress and hard work are kind of part of the experience?
There is. I think it's an ingrained part of the culture. It's a shaping experience here, because after you go through this kind of thing, you leave and you have a better resilience to failure. You have a different definition of hard work, really.
So, Rachel, I want to bring you back in here. I mean, that's what really, I think, makes this quite universal, that it's not just MIT where students feel so overwhelmed.
I would agree with that. I mean, clearly MIT is in a class by itself when it comes to intense stress, but really this applies to undergrads at any institution. I mean, here are some statistics which I got from Stephanie Pinder-Amakar, who's the director of college mental health at McLean Hospital, and she sees about 700 college students a year from schools across the country. 50% of all college students say that they have felt so depressed that they found it difficult to function during the last school year. 80% of college students who need mental health services won't seek them. I mean, this speaks to the taboo of getting help for a mental health issue. It exists, and it's very powerful.
So Lydia, hearing these statistics, tell me a little bit more about what specifically happened to you when you finally felt that you might need some help, some mental health assistance. Were you able to get it?
So I did not go as far as mental health. I was able to get everything I needed from student support services.
So you got, but you did get the support that you needed. And what did they advise you to do? How did they help?
I have a fantastic dean in student support services who I think he just really knows how I tick. A lot of the times when I'm really stressed out, I just really need someone to talk to me about the things that I'm interested in, the things that I came here for, to make me feel, remember that. One time I came in and I said, I'm so stressed out. I want to tell you all about how I'm stressed out. And we talked about genetics. And it was fun, and it was really awesome, and I walked out thinking, oh, I feel just fine, and furthermore, I really love genetics.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, which is I think MIT has, in the past few years, made a huge effort to really try to meet students where they are when it comes to support services and mental health issues. So, you know, maybe somebody doesn't need like weekly traditional therapy sessions. Maybe they just need a really great talk about genetics and or just to talk, to vent, to make them feel heard and that they're not so isolated and alone. And that might be enough.
You know, Rachel, the challenge that the university or universities and colleges face as institutions, I think, is that most students, you know, according to the statistics that you read, are going to experience something like this while they're in college. But most students will also be able to, you know, do the right thing, seek help, and handle it. But they just don't know which are the students who may not be able to.
Right, and each school has a different culture when it comes to this. I mean, some schools are experimenting with surveys sent out to kids before they start their freshman year to let them know what kind of services are available and to sort of gauge how much they might need. Other schools are including mental health and wellness support into the core curriculums.
Rachel, you have covered this issue of college students and mental health a lot on Common Health. And I just wonder, what's your takeaway from this latest sort of chapter in this ongoing story on campuses across the country?
Well, I personally was very moved by Lydia's story. I mean, I think we have to tell our college students that it is going to be okay. When you get out of school, no one's going to care about your grades. And really, finding balance is something that people struggle with their whole lives. We should try to start giving people tools to achieve balance in their lives when they're 20 instead of waiting till they're 45.
And Lydia, what's your advice for your peers who might be hearing this?
Reading the comments on this blog post has really helped me. I don't feel alone at all. I feel fantastic. One thing that I'm trying to change is to try to focus on learning rather than on grades. Because if I learn a lot and then I wind up with a C, then I learned a lot. If I just worked for the grade and I wound up with a C, then that really sucks. Another thing is sleep is very important. Having a consistent sleep schedule is very important. And seeking help. Some of the responses to this blog post that made me the happiest was people saying, well, I was not going to go to S-Cube Student Support Services, but after reading this, I think I'm going to go ahead and do that.
Lydia Krasilnikova is a blogger and a computational biology major at MIT. Lydia, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Rachel Zimmerman, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, thanks as always.
Thanks, Magna.
And listeners, you can find Rachel's original post and links to Lydia's writing at commonhealth.wbur.org.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com.
Our show is produced by Jessica Alpert, Amory Sievertson, and Dina Rosendorf. We're receiving production help this week from Aisha Siddiqui. Our intern is Emily Zent.
Tim Skog is our technical director.
The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin.
I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.